You know the image, I'm sure. We all have it right in front of our eyes the moment we think of a really good espresso, don't we?
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Italian piazza, sunshine, exactly.
Exactly that. There's this sun-drenched little piazza in Naples, and then this charismatic barista with a leather apron that fits perfectly, pulling a massive chrome lever down with one elegant motion.
Steam in between.
Yes, steam rises in between, and then this syrupy dark brown liquid flows into a tiny pre-warmed cup. That whole moment is practically screaming emotion, craft, this ultimate dolce vita.
Right. And that is an extremely powerful narrative. Whoever buys a premium espresso machine for their own kitchen today is, as a rule, not just buying hardware. They are essentially buying a ticket to exactly this Mediterranean way of life.
These machines usually have wonderfully sonorous Italian names. The entire marketing speaks of passion, tradition, and so on.
And this is exactly the point where we have to begin our deep dive today, because we have on the table a stack of internal founding documents, brand guidelines, and product spec sheets. The target date on these papers is shortly before the 1st of July, 2026.
And the company behind those documents takes this beautiful romantic oil painting of the coffee industry, literally tears it into 1,000 pieces, and instead wallpapers the wall with a sober Tuv certificate.
Exactly. We're talking about a startup called Omaneo GmbH, based in Neuss. And our mission for this intense look into the sources is to find out today how a completely unconventional founder wants to crack open this heavily romanticized and fiercely contested market. And he wants to do it with radical, unvarnished honesty.
Which raises the most important question right away, I think. Who actually builds a company like that?
Yeah. When we usually look at coffee startups, we expect some kind of hipster roasting collective from Berlin or Scandinavian design purists in their mid-20s. The typical startup cliche, basically.
But Omaneo's internal documents introduce us to Dieter Eitz. He is 67 years old, a man who has essentially already finished his working life and is in retirement.
I genuinely paused there while reading the sources. I thought, hold on, a 67-year-old in retirement is founding a hardware startup for espresso machines. That alone is unusual. But his background makes the whole thing even more absurd.
Because Dieter Eitz is not some former barista world champion or anything. He was the owner and managing director of Janus.net AG, a pure B2B tech company.
Right. They offered companies internet access, domain registrations, and things like website building. So we're talking about a genuine, hard-nosed tech veteran from the era of early digital infrastructure.
And it matters to understand that, because his entire DNA comes from that business-to-business sector. It's about server uptime, service-level agreements, and hard technical facts. In the B2B world, you don't buy emotions. You buy reliability.
And he now transfers that mindset one-to-one onto a highly emotional end-consumer product.
Wow. And he doesn't do this with a huge agency or a big team. The documents reveal that to build Omaneo, Eitz reaches deep, really deep, into the toolbox of artificial intelligence. He primarily uses this tool called Claude Code to automate essentially all of his processes.
Wait, for everything?
Yes. From building the entire website, through working out the corporate identity, all the way to researching insanely complex regulatory import requirements.
Okay, you have to make that tangible for me for a second. So we have a 67-year-old ex-tech CEO who in the evening doesn't sit down at the table with some marketing agency. He sits at his computer and steers an AI through a command line.
Exactly that. And when you're importing Asian electrical appliances, that's not a side effect. That's the lever.
That is genuinely fascinating. But it immediately raises what, for me, is the very biggest problem of this entire business model. The gigantic elephant in the room, so to speak. The Asian origin.
Yes, he imports the machines from Asia. That is a massive point of conflict, definitely. The target group Omanio aims at here are buyers between 35 and 65 years old in the German-speaking countries. People who are quite willing to put serious money on the table for the enjoyment of coffee.
But these people, when it comes to espresso, absolutely expect that Made in Italy stamp. Or if it's really about the precision of the technology, at the very least, Made in Germany.
If you tell that genuinely tech-savvy buyer crowd that the centerpiece of their beloved morning coffee ceremony comes from China or Asia in general, then the drawer in their head labeled cheap mass production instantly springs open.
Sure, the reflex is there. I mean the kind of espresso enthusiast who lovingly strokes their Italian E61 brew group in the morning. To that target group, an Asian import probably feels like trying to sell a Frenchman a British red wine as a premium product.
Nice comparison. So how do you dissolve that huge stigma?
Well, what is extremely fascinating here? The standard industry tactic would be concealment. You invent some name that sounds like a small romantic Tuscan village.
Exactly. And prints designed in Germany in huge letters on the box.
Right. And just hopes that nobody asks where the boards were actually soldered. But Eitz takes the exact opposite path. He makes the origin the absolute core of his transparent communication.
His guiding motto is simply, "We say what we think, and we do what we say."
Wow, that is an extremely old-fashioned values anchor. That classic, "A man's word is his bond."
Yes, and that is the ultimate counter-proposal to today's marketing speak. In the documents, he communicates crystal clearly that the machines are manufactured in Asia. And for the simple reason that first-class hardware is now produced there at affordable conditions.
Okay, but how does he hedge against the quality concerns?
He promises that every single machine arriving from Asia is physically inspected here in Germany before it goes to the end customer.
Ah, so he basically acts as a bouncer for quality.
Exactly. He's essentially telling his customers, "I know that you are extremely skeptical about Asian imports. You should be. And that is why I take this risk on completely for you. Every machine passes through my hands."
And this philosophy of an almost painful honesty runs through every tiny nuance of the brand communication. Omaneo simply forbids itself everything we today understand as modern marketing. It's an anti-marketing concept.
Absolutely. The internal guidelines read like a manifesto against the advertising industry. There are strict vocabulary bans. For example, the word AI must not be used. It has to be KI, because they want to reduce anglicisms. Then phrases like "world's best espresso," or "groundbreaking," or "revolutionary," are simply strictly forbidden.
And any visual or textual reference to this aforementioned Dolce Vita is absolutely off limits.
So no Vespa in the background.
No Vespa, no Leaning Tower of Pisa. The advertising photos are meant to show simply the product. Full stop.
You can really see the engineer's spirit here, very clearly. Anything that can't be backed up by hard technical specs counts as bullshit to him.
The documents go so far that he personally signs every newsletter and service email. He avoids the industry standard cliche of your Omaneo team. He signs flat out with Dieter Eitz, founder of Omaneo GmbH.
Though on a psychological level, that also makes complete sense. If you want to overcome the skepticism towards an imported product, you can't hide behind an anonymous corporate facade. The customer needs someone they can symbolically grab by the collar when the machine quits after 3 weeks.
Absolutely. But now it gets really interesting. This obsessive attention to detail in the guidelines did irritate me a little while reading. For example, it's pedantically defined that B2B customers always get the formal sigh, while end customers get a professional due.
But the visual branding. The wordmark Omaneo may only be written in lowercase. The typeface must be Playfair Display, no exceptions. And underneath, Espresso must appear in Helvetica Bold, set as a block.
Ah yes, the bronze tone. The primary color is a bronze tone, nailed down to an exact hex code. And the lowercase O in the logo must under no circumstances be modified graphically. So no little coffee bean tucked inside, no magnifying glass, nothing. Strictly according to the spec.
When I read that, I genuinely thought for a moment, is this man now selling server racks for data centers or a machine for the pleasure of coffee? It all sounds so incredibly joyless.
Well, joy in the sense of colorful advertising entertainment simply isn't the goal here. If we connect that with the bigger picture, this detail-obsessed, completely sober approach is a highly intelligent filter.
What do you mean by that?
Omaneo's target group typically has a decent budget, may live in a nice owner-occupied flat, and places enormous value on quality. And these people are bombarded every day with loud, colorful advertising promises. They've become utterly immune to the 100th perfect coffee moment of your life on Instagram.
Mm-hmm, that's true.
Eitz answers this advertising fatigue with the philosophy, substance over high gloss. The strictness of the design signals subconsciously, we have no time here for gimmicks, we are concentrating 100% on the product.
And I found a fantastic example of this almost stubborn love of facts in the technical communication rules. There's a strict requirement that in all texts, Omaneo may only speak of 3,000 watts of power.
But the internal data show that the machine has a TUV certified continuous output of 2,800 watts. The 3,000 watts are only the brief peak output. In the normal advertising world, 99% of all manufacturers would grab both numbers and turn them into a slogan. Up to 3,000 watts of power, printed on the box with an exclamation mark.
But Eitz forbids that. His notes essentially say, a double wattage figure only confuses the customer. We communicate solely the maximum value of 3,000 watts as a fixed reference point. And we do so without any asterisk text whatsoever.
He eliminates the small print. In his world, asterisk texts are simply defensive caveats that immediately undermine trust.
Another fascinating rule, by the way, says that advertising promises may only refer to features that are, without exception, actually built into every delivery variant of the machine.
Ah, okay. So if there's a special edition with elegant walnut wood handles, then that specific model must not be the headline photo for the general advertising campaign. In his notes, Eitz literally calls this a brand lie. He forces himself and his company to treat the customer like an intelligent adult.
Wild. All right, we've now understood that we're dealing with a deeply relaxed but extremely disciplined B2B veteran who wants to win the market over with naked transparency. But, and this is a big but, the best brand philosophy collapses the moment the product on the kitchen counter is no good.
So let's talk about Omaneo's hero product. The machine that has to live up to all of these principles. And just at the name, I really have to laugh out loud. Because we are not talking about the La Marzocco Linea Micra. We're not talking about the Victoria Arduino or the Bezerra. The flagship of this company is called Omaneo Gudrun, and it's written in capital letters and tied inseparably to the word mark by the dot.
Yes, a complete break with every convention. But seriously, why Gudrun? To me, that sounds like a 1980s afternoon coffee circle at my aunt's place with filter coffee, not like a high-end espresso for which I set the grind to the micrometer.
Well, the choice is strategically brilliant precisely because it seems so clunky at first glance. The documents explain this naming concept very precisely. The idea is to deliberately use female German first names from a very specific generation.
Okay. And what is the psychological anchor in that?
The anchor isn't the espresso itself. It's the feeling of reliability. An Italian name creates the illusion of a short holiday. The name Gudrun, on the other hand, creates the association of tradition, of a time when things were literally built for eternity. The internal papers sum it up with the guiding thought, like at Mum's, so no put-on coolness, but honest, rock-solid quality.
Okay, that makes sense. Then let's look under the bonnet of this rock-solid Gudrun. Because with the technical specifications, I was at times genuinely overwhelmed while reading.
Then let's unpack it. The machine comes to market at 799 euros. So far, so good. But the documents emphasize with three exclamation marks that it is explicitly not a dual boiler. That term must never appear in the communication because it would be technically wrong. Instead, the machine is described as a two-circuit system with three heating subsystems.
So we have here a PID temperature control, a touchscreen, and a full two pumps. A main pump from Olka at 15 bar and a secondary pump at 5 bar. Add a classic E61 brew group, a substantial 2-liter water tank, and the whole thing weighs a brutal 12.5 kilos.
Help me through the technical jungle here for a moment. What exactly is the difference between a dual boiler and this system? And why does it actually matter so much?
That's the heart of the technical innovation that Omaneo imports from Asia here. A classic dual boiler, as the name says, has two large physical water boilers built into the machine. One boiler for the brewing water of the coffee, and one for the steam to foam milk.
Okay, makes sense.
But both boilers have to be heated up at huge energy cost and then held at temperature. In practice, that often takes 20 to 30 minutes before such a machine is even ready to use.
Which is obviously extremely annoying in the morning.
Exactly. The Gudrun uses a different concept. As a two-circuit system, she does separate the steam and brewing water circuits, but she does it without two huge water boilers. Instead, she uses an intelligent system of through-flow heaters and compact thermoblocks. Those are the three heating subsystems mentioned earlier.
So that means the water isn't boiled in advance. It's heated exactly at the moment it gets pumped through the system.
Precisely. And the massive advantage of this architecture is simply speed. The documents state that the Gudrun is technically fully heated up in under 2 minutes.
Wow, under 2 minutes. Though here too, Eitz lets his radical honesty flash through. Because the communication says very clearly, yes, the heating systems are hot after 2 minutes. But for the optimal, thermally perfect espresso, the customer should please give the machine 8 minutes, so that the kilo-heavy hardware, that is, the entire massive metal of the E61 brew group, is fully warmed through.
So he deliberately gives up the easy advertising win of the 2-minute machine in order to prevent false expectations about the taste.
Exactly. And to answer your question about the pumps, the fact that there are two pumps in this price class solves a massive problem of many cheaper machines.
Which problem?
Well, when a single pump has to build pressure for the brew group and simultaneously push water into the steam circuit, you inevitably get pressure fluctuations. The espresso then extracts unevenly.
Ah, I see.
But by having the Gudrun use a massive 15-bar pump exclusively for the espresso pour and a smaller 5-bar pump to control the secondary systems, the pressure on the coffee puck stays absolutely stable. That is real engineering art, and it shows up directly in the cup.
Okay, that all sounds fantastic, but hold on. I really have to step in vehemently here.
Sure.
We're talking PID control, where I can program the temperature down to the degree. We're talking separate circuits for simultaneous brewing and milk frothing, dedicated pumps, and a touch display. When I look around the market for espresso machines today, I usually find that combination of features on devices that sit somewhere between 1,500 and 3,000 euros. Omaneo is asking 799 euros here. Isn't that price almost dangerous on the other side?
That raises an extremely important question. Because it's as if someone were offering you a brand new sports car, fully loaded, at the price of a used compact car. You don't grab that blindly. You instinctively start looking for the catch.
Doesn't the target group then immediately think, ah, they must have cut corners on the valves or the electronics?
Absolutely. That skepticism is actually the very biggest hurdle on market entry. The documents literally call this phenomenon the price shock in the premium segment. Eitz knows perfectly well that 799 euros for these specifications could come across as almost shadily cheap.
And that is exactly why his strategy only works through the interplay of all the factors we've discussed so far. His real unique selling point isn't the pump itself or the touchscreen. It's that tangible point of contact in Germany.
Ah, okay. So, he catches that skepticism through trust in his own person and his own quality assurance.
Precisely. The argument to the customer is compellingly logical. The Asian market for these components has come on enormously. Production has become cheaper. Aitz passes that price advantage on directly, without slapping on the usual 50% luxury margin for some Italian brand name. The customer buys the hardware at an honest price, and Aitz, with his own name and noise, vouches for the machine to keep working for years.
Which essentially brings us to the phase after the actual purchase. Because Dieter Aitz clearly doesn't simply sell a 12-kilo cardboard box and then wish the customer good luck for the rest of his journey, does he?
No, not at all. When you look at the founding documents, he builds an extremely tight-knit barista ecosystem around the Gudrun. And that really strongly evokes his past in the B2B tech world again.
In B2B, that's called a service-level agreement. You don't just sell a company a server, you also contractually guarantee that this server runs 99.9% of the time.
Right. And if it does fail, a technician is at the door within 2 hours. Aitz transfers exactly that logic to Omaneo. Because the main problem with direct Asian imports is precisely that infamous service desert.
A valve breaks, a circuit board burns out, and suddenly you can't reach anyone anymore.
Exactly. Or you have to wait 6 weeks for a spare part from Shenzhen that then gets stuck somewhere at customs.
Oh yes, a nightmare. And Omaneo positions itself completely on the opposite side here. The claim, word for word, customers are never left out in the rain.
There is direct phone and email support straight from Germany and, above all, a spare parts warehouse on site to guarantee very fast repairs. That is the absolute safety belt for the target group.
But the ecosystem goes much further. It also covers the full range of accessories you need, as the sources put it, to make good espresso yourself. Aitz, of course, knows that the best machine in the world only produces ghastly coffee if the grinder next to it is no good or if the puck isn't tamped at the right angle.
And with that accessory range too, he runs a very aggressive but transparent pricing strategy. The documents list, for example, a grinder with 64mm burrs for so-called single dosing, that is, grinding individual portions to the gram.
Exactly, and that one costs 349 euros. As an alternative, there's a classic grinder with a large 750-gram bean hopper for 199 euros, then a spring-loaded tamper that takes the job of finding the perfect tamp pressure off the user for just under 40 euros, plus high-precision barista scales for around 25 euros.
So when you put all these puzzle pieces together, Aitz is essentially building a one-stop shop for budget-conscious coffee nerds here. He doesn't just want to sell the machine, he wants to control the whole barista experience. The customer essentially never has to leave Omaneo again. It's almost like Apple, just for coffee beans.
The comparison fits very well. He delivers three decisive pillars here. First, the hardware, the Gudrun, and the grinders. Second, the safety net through German support and the local spare parts warehouse. And third,
education. The documents show that Omaneo is also building its own online magazine and a blog to share knowledge about extraction, grind sizes, and roast profiles. That is community building par excellence.
This trinity hits exactly the pain points of people who want to get into the world of espresso, but were previously put off by the enormous complexity and the astronomical prices of the classic manufacturers.
And to round off the overall package, in the shop he implements a whole series of small trust signals that are deeply anchored in the German consumer mind.
What exactly do you mean?
Buying on invoice, for example. That is still a massive show of trust from a retailer towards their customers. Add things like SSL encryption in the shop, a 10 euro newsletter discount, climate-neutral shipping with DHL Go Green, and packaging that is 100% plastic-free. So no styrofoam, no film, only fully recyclable materials. And the documents literally say on this too, this is not marketing, this is stance.
Which takes us straight back to his core principle, no empty phrases. When Omaneo ships in an environmentally friendly way, it isn't to stick a pretty green badge on the website. It's because it is the rationally correct decision.
Right. And it's exactly that deep consistency that ultimately turns a simple import business into a serious disruptive brand.
Let's summarize this incredible blueprint for a market entry. A 67-year-old tech veteran from the B2B sector uses AI tools to bring himself, in retirement, into a completely new segment. He looks at this elitist espresso market, drenched in Italian romance and marketing superlatives, and simply decides to ignore all those rules.
Instead, he banks on cutting-edge Asian hardware at a price of 799 euros, pairs it with radical, almost humorless German directness and a seamless service ecosystem. No hidden wattages, no bullshit bingo, just plain facts.
Exactly. And he names the centerpiece of this entire operation, in all seriousness, Gudrun.
It's an absolutely fascinating experiment. He takes the potentially biggest weakness of his model, the Asian origin of the machines, and through merciless transparency and taking on personal responsibility, he turns it into his single strongest selling point.
This look behind the scenes, long before the brand even sees the light of day in July 2026, shows us today how powerful a radical change of perspective can be.
And that brings me to a question you might want to put to yourself after this deep dive. We see here someone trying to completely re-engineer an extremely emotionalized, often vastly overpriced lifestyle experience, the home espresso. And he's doing it purely through rational tech principles, B2B service logic, and the total refusal of classic advertising cliches.
If that approach really works for coffee machines, which other utterly over-romanticized lifestyle industries in our everyday life are right now calling out just as loudly for exactly this kind of humorless, honest disruption?
A thought you can wonderfully keep turning over for yourself with the next cup of coffee. Thanks for joining us today on this intensive look into the sources. Until next time.